You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
That's the new intro. I'm so happy with it. It's gotten me smitten. What do you think about it, Matt?
I think it's awesome, bro. It's really fucking awesome.
Yo, who wants to watch it again? I want to watch it one more time. I want to watch it one more time, and I want to just really pay attention to it and just marvel in it. And I want to thank Mike May one more time, and I'll be thanking him forever. I mean, for as long, I'm going to use this until I burn a hole in it. I'm going to wear this one until it stinks, man. And it's just so awesome. And I'm so appreciative of your time. And thank you so much for contributing this to the show. I'm so happy with it. Especially the disclaimer. He went out and he found this Fife music from, I think he said, it was somewhere in New England. I said, make sure that is, you know, American. And I don't want to be using this intro for 3 years and somebody tell me it's Dutch or something like that, you know? So he goes, no, he went and he checked it and all that. We went through a couple of different revisions of the disclaimer. Let's watch it again. Ready? Here we go. Quite frankly, it may not be appropriate for all viewers. Parental discretion is advised. Safe spacers, beware. This show contains notions of classical liberalism, fair interpretations of history, a healthy love
you
of country, and
one
fuck!
And stand up to us, then they all
couldn't get through it.
Stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
He kept networking
there. Does anybody else want to stay?
I like the Matrix stuff. A lot of this stuff I didn't ask
Let's
for.
Let's ride!
I didn't. He's even got Alex Jones in there. It's so funny. Everything is in there. It's a completely updated, contemporary piece. It's so awesome. So I'm happy with that. I wanted to take a couple of minutes out of the first five to mention that, but I'm sure you guys had noticed it. Something was different. What was it? And yes, I think I got everybody's letters now. Which is good, because I'm actually, as I'm writing the letters out, I'm reading the previous letter, and I'm just, it actually helps me. Now the dialogue, I think the toughest thing, even though it's really not that tough, when these letters go out, when we write the letters for the Patreon clubs and all that, and we're writing letters to each other, I think the hardest thing is getting the ball rolling, because you want to say something really, really specific to each person, and I have a lot of fun coming up with it. But, you know, after that happens, and you got a volley of letters going back and forth, and then you're just having an old-time conversation, which is fucking awesome, because you can stay in character if you want. I'm going to be bringing back, like, Matt, you've got to write some of these letters too, man, because you get to put all the old-world language in there, and it's actually appropriate.
It's always appropriate.
Yeah, but people, they kind of expect it in a letter.
Well, then why wouldn't they expect it orally?
I don't know.
Whatever.
It makes no sense. But what else did I want to get around to? Oh, you know what the other thing was there? When I was looking at the intro and I saw the cows feeding there, it reminded me of this conversation I had with Lauren last night. So we had gotten back from Alamo. We went to go see Eyes Wide Shut at Alamo Draft House in Yonkers last night. And, you know, I had a burger. What'd you guys have?
I had a burger, a pretzel.
Mike had a burger. Did Anthony get a burger? Everybody got a burger?
Yeah.
Well, in either case, Lauren was also at a... She was at a confirmation for the on Sunday, and I... we were in two different places. And when we got back to the house later on after the movie and all that, she had mentioned that where she was at, the confirmation, they're, like, serving steak and all that stuff, and she was sitting back and looking at everybody just hacking away through gigantic steaks. You know? The smallest members of the family had a steak, and they're just tearing apart. And then I said, you know, and she said that when she was watching all this, she realized that she's never been more happy that she can't eat food like that anymore, because she's completely turned off by beef. And I asked her, is that because you can't eat meat because of her stomach condition, or is it because you're starting to look at it from the point of view of what's being consumed and the animal that it once was? And she goes, I think it's both now. Because I know, and then we kept talking about it, though. It's a lot longer to pass. I'm sorry I'm talking about with you guys, but this is just what happens. Beef slows shit down, okay? But it's great. It's like, you know, it's like having a multivitamin. And that's the thing. As a personal trainer, as a health and fitness professional, for years now, absolutely, I could say right off the bat, and as it just, I mean, a lot of people think that we're meant to have just, you know, fish and potatoes, but I really do see where beef is necessary for a diet, or at least meat is necessary for a diet. There's just something about it. Meat in general, I see where it goes hand in hand with human nutrition. I mean, some blood types take it, accept it a little bit better. Some people are, you know, just different in different ways, different in multiple ways when it comes to diet. But it's not so much about contesting whether or not beef should be part of a human's diet. I think that there's a place for all that stuff within the world of nutrition, especially when it comes down to individuals. But the thing that really gets me from time to time, when I have a little bit of time to ponder my food, and I do that a lot, and that is the kind of relationship that we have with the food now. Like, for instance, think about, like, Avatar, the movie Avatar. They have a very specific relationship with the animals that they're about to slaughter for their food, okay? Like, they are hunting it down. The animal is free until its very last day. And then, boom. And then they're just like, you know, oh, brother. I thank you, brother, for your meat. And then they're slicing the throat and just hugging it as its energy, whatever. You know, they're very nature-bound people, those avatars. So it's shit like that. But the problem is that now I can't help but think about this wholesale slaughter in just very sterile, factory-like conditions. Like this is the thing. The thing that kills me is you start thinking about this weird mechanized way of producing animals for slaughter and this weird cycle of producing animals for slaughter. But it's just mechanized, and there's no connection there anymore. You know? There's no connection there anymore. There's not even that connection that I would have to imagine somebody has to have with the work that they're going to do. Or, you know, especially if you're a hunter, a butcher. But damn, man. It's like it's not even... Just think about that. Has nothing to do with me taking a moral stance on diet or anything like that. But it's just weird how that industry, or at least the most productive parts of that industry that provide the most beef, is just mechanized slaughter. Crazy. So call in if you ever had any thoughts about that stuff. And what one way or another did it help you lean? I don't know. All right, we have a couple things we have to do tonight. Matt, are you ready for all of them?
Yeah, bro. I'm ready. I'm just in excruciating pain.
What, your shoulder?
Yeah, I think I made it worse by trying to fix it right now. I'm just trying not to pass out from the pain.
Why don't you go to the emergency room and get it put back in? I don't know how to slip it in.
I saw something after the show. I'm gonna have you do it to me. It'll probably hurt real bad, but it's worth a shot.
What did you see?
I'm gonna lay on my back.
And I have to put my legs across your chest, right?
And you gotta pull on my...
Yeah. Yeah, but the thing is that I gotta put my legs across your chest, your arm between my legs, and I've got to pull that way. Yeah, I've seen that. And it was done in a video with medical professionals.
You're a fitness expert.
I can tell you how to do it. I can teach you how to...
Bro. I trust in you. I give you full permission.
Full permission to what? I'd be the guy that would be able to supervise you when you could still be able to do an overhead press.
I'm
the guy you call when your shoulder is healthy enough to do an overhead press, not to cure you.
I'm going to call Justine tomorrow.
You should call her right now. To be honest, dude, she doesn't go to sleep that early, and you should call her up right now, and she'd probably take you if it's an emergency. We're talking about Justine, our massage therapist. She is a pisser. I want to get her on the show. She will kill anybody.
Yeah.
Nobody, no, really. Got to get her on a show. All right, Matt. Well, you let us know if you want us to do anything.
I'm good, bro.
You want to lay on the ground? I can pull your arm.
You want to do it live on air?
I don't know what to tell. Dude, first of all,
I said the only thing that it could do is cause more damage or cause internal bleeding or something like that.
If you do it wrong?
I guess. No big deal. I trust you.
Well, I'm glad you trust me.
We're Scotty, so fucking we're Scotty.
Scotty would probably know.
Drive the Scotty, boom up.
What's going on, Sarah, in the chat room? What's going on, iLock? What's going on, Gadget Doc? What's going on, Nikki, Mary Ann, Hoss Perot?
Hoss Perot's there.
Hoss Perot says he has bacon socks on right now.
I don't know what that means. What's a bacon sock?
I don't know. But this is always part of the monologue. We're on the 720 part. This is where we're going to get... Actually, you know what? We'll do this one right now because this just got shared around. Shinzo Abe will become the first Japanese leader to visit Pearl Harbor. You know, the 75th anniversary is coming up in 2 days. Let's listen to this. Hold on. This came from the Times. Oh, hold on. Let me tell you what he's saying. I will visit Pearl Harbor with President Obama. This is a visit to commemorate the dead. We should never repeat the atrocity of war. I would like to send this commitment toward the future. Hold on. I love this song. but it is filling.
None.
I would like to send this commitment toward the future.
その未来に向け
At the same time, I would also like to use this visit as an opportunity to for reconciliation between the U.S. and Japan. And after he apologizes, Obama will then say, no, 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 we apologize more. We insist. Hideki Matsui. And Hirohito Tanaka. I will not go back.
We will fry our brains into the American battleships.
There's no more battleships anymore. We will find the battleships in the retired shipyards, and we will bomb the battleships that have been retired as a symbolic gesture to never admitting defeat. A symbolic gesture when you drop a bomb on an old battleship. I don't know why we just did that. We just offended all of our Japanese audience. No. We love you.
They look out fucking
Bobby G is Japanese. Bobby G, I hope that you know that I love you very deeply. Yeah, we New Yorkers have a you have to understand, New Yorkers have a very, very deep connection and a reverence and a love for Japanese accents, especially when they're speaking English, because we have so many beloved Japanese baseball players now. We love them. They're the greatest things that ever happened to baseball. Things. Actually, it is true. It's a game of things. So, it's all a game of things.
日米の若い この若いの価値を
The U.S.-Japan alliance has now grown to be an alliance of hope. This is all good stuff. So, in either case, there you go. Actually, it was only last year that people were saying, you know, to this day, the Japanese have never... When are we going to see the Japanese come to Pearl Harbor? Because President Obama had visited Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and, you know, some people thought that it was a little bit too apologetic of a tour. And they thought that it was a little bit unbecoming of the office, especially, you know, 70 years later, 75 years later. But here we go, and now on Pearl Harbor Day, Japan answers. So you know what? Good. I guess that's a good thing. All right, so moving on to something else. I have a few things here that I want to do in order because it is it's important. It's really, really important. Why isn't this turning over? Hold on a second, everybody. I'm trying to get my playlist to shuffle. Oh, it has now. All right, so now everybody's nice and relaxed. Here we go. Now, I wanted to see exactly how you think these all are strung together. Let's start with this one. MRC TV. Urban planner. Public parks need to accommodate for public gay sex. Apparently, public parks need to be more accommodating for gay men who want to have anonymous sex with strangers out in the open. Jen Robertson, a Canadian urban planner who specializes in public safety planning for LGBTQ2S+. First time I ever saw that, it said, in brackets, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender... Oh, God, please get out of my way.
I can't stand
it. Transgender, questioning, and two-spirit.
Now, what's this new thing they made up now?
It's LGBTQ2S+, and it means lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, two-spirit communities.
Christ.
Two-spirit. That's what I'm telling you. Please, I really hope that this stuff that continues to happen is the straw that breaks the camel's back, even for the very, very sane, level-headed gay people out there, which are the vast majority, who, you know what, like most people, just want to go about their days, go to their jobs, provide for themselves and their families, and go home with no impediment of this grabbing government and media complex that continues to be in the business of drumming up hysteria and drumming up societal fractures to the point where every election is a referendum on their lives and the most intimate details thereof. I really hope that this is the straw that finally breaks the camel's back for all of our great, great friends and family members and loved ones who are also a part of the gay community. I really hope it is, because where they're taking you and where they're taking this whole identity politics thing and lumping you along in for the ride is not anywhere that is indicative of what homosexuality has been in society. Okay, come on. It's actually it's insulting to you. Insulting. Think about it. Think about it. You've got people. You know, I'm getting derailed. This Jen Robertson spoke to the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's Jim Brown about the quote need for parks to plan for public gay sex. In the interview, Robertson said, quote, I feel as though in many cities, sex is already happening. You know, if we already have public sex taking place, why not acknowledge that as a fact and kind of plan for that? Okay. Robertson pointed to a public park in Amsterdam called Vondelpark, which allows gays to have sex in public, quote, as long as patrons do not litter, do not engage in sexual activities near the playground, and limit public sex to evenings and nighttime, as an example of appropriately approaching the issue. This is what happens when you don't have standards. This is what you have. And it's like, what does that mean? Is heterosexuality the standard? No. Nobody wants to see you kiss each other. Hetero couples, homo couples, whoever you are, nobody wants to see it. People who've got voyeuristic tendencies will go to a club, a private club, that people with voyeuristic and exhibitionist tendencies would go to satisfy their urges. But I'm telling you, 99.9% of the gay and straight public do not want to see the gay and straight couples of the world making out, necking, touching each other in public. Okay? Tell everybody to get a room. This is what we're talking. I mean, this is the thing that happens here. It's like they're creating. It's like, why are you? I don't know. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy to show the heteronormative world we live in, that everybody's trying to just drum up into some kind of a boogeyman. It's like you go forward and you suggest things like this, where we need to have a safe space for gay sex in public created, as if heterosexual couples have a safe space where they wouldn't be breaking any laws if they had sex in public. Like we are protecting straight couples from public nudity and lewd acts? Are you kidding me? Is this am I living on Earth? What is Earth in that respect? Where the fuck are we going? Okay, so where is this all going? Keep that one in mind, okay? Here we go to the next one. National Post. Heteronormative burger family, no threat to LGBT rights, tribunal says after receiving outrageous complaints. So this is a burger joint, also in Canada, in Ontario. Following a bizarre correspondence with an anonymous letter writer, Ontario's Human Rights Tribunal has strongly dismissed claims that any A&W fast food chain's burger family poses a threat to a self-respect of the LGBT community. The complaint, filed last month by a man posing as a radical lesbian feminist, demanded $50,000 from the restaurant chain, alleging that its trademark, Papa, Mama, Grandpa, and Teen burgers, were, quote, an attack on my woman identity. Now, this could have been trolling. Here we go. The whole heteronormative, phallocentric marketing scheme of A&W is highly degrading to non-traditional families, reads the complaint filed to the tribunal last month. Quote, the level of humiliation and degradation I felt exceeded that which I felt when I was raped, calling it outrageous and vexatious. The Human Rights Tribunal threw out the application earlier this month over concerns regarding the veracity of the complainant's story. It has to be trolling, but still, this is the news, and this is how we're thinking. It's all over the place. This is the direction we're going in. So now, here's another one. From the College Fix, University's Whiteness Forum takes a, quote, critical look at whiteness. Students at Cal State San Marcos on Thursday hosted a whiteness forum as part of a communications class they are enrolled in, setting up more than a dozen displays that highlighted what they contend is how white privilege has oppressed people of color in a variety of ways. Quote, a white beauty standard, you know what it is, white privilege, it's white Democrat privilege that has actually oppressed minority groups in a number of ways. White Democrat, that's what it is. White leftist. White communist privilege. Okay? Because the communism is always usually for the other people, not the communist. It's for everybody below them. The people who need them. A white beauty standard display stated, quote, we are studying why white hegemonic ideals of beauty, of the beauty industry. Another asked, who does whiteness say that you are? Noting whiteness studies is, quote, defined as the study of the system of white dominion in our society with a focus on ideologies of white supremacy as collective rather than white individuals. Wow. Wow. And they called people who simply voted for Trump a racist. They have made racism into a science. Seriously, this is what we're looking at here. They have made racism into a science way beyond any eugenicist has ever done. Taking the old world and we're marching bravely into the new one. Look at that. To imagine that someone actually took the time to develop that language. To develop that language. It's so fucking thorough. I don't even know what to say. Now, why did I bring all these things up in order? Because they all really revolve around the same type of thinking, the same types of people, and the same type of globalist, Marxist mentality where there is no tradition and there is only just cult, blank stares, and smugness, and just, I don't know, weakness. There's a lot of weakness and a lot of instability, and it's all by design. Why did I bring all that up? Because here we have Nancy Pelosi. After being foolish, very, very, very foolish to nominate her and elect her as the face of the party in Congress for the Democrat Party, not only was it very, very foolish to make her the face of it all again, because, I mean, this is probably going to guarantee Democrat losses in 2018 and 2020. She is the face, the pulled and peeled and plucked and stretched face, the lifeless corpse of a face of everything that lost them the election because of what people are sick of seeing and hearing. because it's a lot of nonsense and there's never any good that comes out of their ideas. But instead of admitting their faults and maybe rethinking their positions, until you find something that actually does benefit people, which they'll never do, because the only thing that ever benefits people time and time again is liberty and the government getting off of our backs and allowing free people to deal with each other freely. But because they never wanted that to happen, because that means they're out of jobs and influence to peddle to all their friends, they're going to keep doubling down on their bad ideas. And of course, once it's been radicalized by a religion, then holy shit. And this is a religion. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, God knows how many noses she's had. Let's listen to her. Hold on. Let's listen to her.
The Democratic Party is in a moment of questioning about its identity. You were reelected to lead the Democrats in the House. What do you tell Democrats who want a new direction?
Look at
that. And then go to you. What are you going to...
It's like this. That's like her. Hold
they
on.
Do differently.
Well, I don't think that people want a new direction. Our values.
Whoa.
And our values.
Stop right there
about-
for a second. Stop right there for a second. You partially embalmed hag. Hold on.
Supporting America.
Did you just hear what
family.
She just said?
To lead the Democrats in the House. What do you tell Democrats who want a new direction? And then go to you. What are you going to do differently?
Well, I don't think that people want a new direction. Our values unify us.
I don't think that people want new directions. Our values unify us. Goes right over it. Yes, they do want a new direction. They need a sane direction. You led them into the arms of these people. You led them into the arms of the whining, crying, safe sex places, the public park sex place people. This is them. Those are the people that you put at the head of your party. All of the rent-a-celebrities, all these celebrities that they brought into the fold, that became the party. They took up the causes. They don't want a new direction. Bullshit, they don't want a new direction. You're making moderate people look like absolute lunatics. You're making your own people feel afraid to be outward with what they think about these things. If you think that every Democrat, that there's really an overwhelming support, I have to believe that there's not really an overwhelming support of the direction from within the Democrat Party. People who see that they're only discussing bathroom usage, they're only discussing bullshit. There's got to be people out there that don't even want to have the conversation because they think it's ridiculous. But the problem is, to avoid having the conversation these days is to be one of those bigots that you have dubbed the entire world now. It's just the Democrat Party versus the world because everybody's a bigot. Can you imagine that one? And when she says, no, we're united by common philosophy. Hold on, let's listen to that again.
And our values are about supporting a new direction. Our values unify us, and our values are about...
You have no unification. You don't have any values. You have catchphrases. You're not a party of philosophers. You're a party of grifters. Half of you should be working in YMCAs. That's not to say anything about people at YMCAs. But they're non-for-profit organizations that are just not run like the corporations are. Okay? Let me just say that. I worked a long time in YMCAs, and it is very, very hard to get an idea through. Very, very hard. You want to talk about... Actually, I can probably... Listen. At this point, everybody at the YMCA that knows I love them knows I love them. Okay? So I can really go into this one night because I think it is a perfect microcosm. Okay? You want to talk about issues that were brought up and created and sustained just because there's nothing else to do? Oh, my God. Positions in these YMCAs that are created just because you don't know how to tell somebody there's no more use for you. And you don't want to deal with the politics of firing someone constantly. Shit like that. Oh, my God. It's the same exact thing. They're little mini governments. That's it. That's it. We should talk about that one night. That'd be great. So that's what I thought was fantastic. You go through all the headlines and where we're being led with this crazy social justice shit, which is their entire platform. So it's not even like, oh, why do you keep harping on the social justice? Because that is the basis of the entire platform. Any suggestion for anything, whether it be healthcare or anything else, has everything to do with humanity and social justice and human rights and all that stuff. That's it. That's it. Because it's the only argument they can win. They can't win the math argument. That's for goddamn sure. So there you go. That's that. Let me take a really quick break. I'm going to play... You know what? Oh, that Pizzagate one is 12 minutes long. I'm going to play that at the end of the show. David Seaman put out a new video about Pizzagate. Matt, you all right over there, man?
Yeah. I'm good, bro.
You look like you're nodding off. You really passing out?
No, I'm all right.
But, okay, so let's get around to something else here. I want to get all my thank yous up to the forefront because you guys are the best, okay? And the first ones I want to get out here is Tony Federici, good friend of ours. Also, I'd like to say hello to Hoss Perot in the chat room again, too. Our good buddy Tony. Tony's a good friend. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, he is.
He's a funny guy. He really is. I told him he's got to call into the show more often, even if it's just to screw with us. Just call in.
I've told him to call and fuck
with
you.
He should totally do it. Michael Wells is the first boss of mine I'd like to say. Tony's part of it too, so that's Tony's shout out. Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Andrew Dame, Laura Veris, Perry and Stacy Little. I've got a problem tonight. Mike May, who created that amazing intro.
Yeah. Good job, Mike May.
I love the Revolutionary War footage you put in there. That was good to get a feel for that. There's a little bit of World War II. That was great.
All the good wars.
Yeah.
No such thing as a good war, bro.
Matt Smith, Sean Collins, Christian Peppers, Max Ancaparato, Rob Corrado, L.S. Dan. L.S. Dan in the chat room just said common values equals new votes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Are you guys having a good time tonight so far? Please tell me if you're having a good time. And also, sometimes I go off on a tangent or something like that. If you see me going off on a tangent and you have something that you want to say to snap me out of it, call in, because sometimes I'm not looking at the chat room when I'm going off on a tangent. Let me see here, but sometimes I don't see the calls. So, Matt DeFabio, thank you, my man. 1984, forever. Jackie Milam, Rudy Escarcega, Eric Reitz, Whitney McShann. Can't wait to write Whitney. Bren Antilles of Rogue Squadron. Rogue One comes out next Thursday, and I just know it's not... I'm not going to be able to get past everything I know about the writers and their
Gavin McGinnis says it's gonna flop. He said it's.
Yeah, I know. Actually, Gavin McGinnis's video on it was very well done. Really, very well said. You know, because after I saw this, forget about it. My own heart was taken out of it. You remember how excited I was leading right up to it? I couldn't wait. I absolutely couldn't wait. You know, but I'm glad. I'm glad because this is another thing that the Trump presidency is doing for us. It's bringing all of the snakes to the surface. And it's allowing people to really show themselves for who they are. For the most part, a lot of people are. The veil has been completely torn away, especially in the media. If Hillary Clinton were to have won, Star Wars would have ambiguously been bounding off into SJW land. Okay? But it was only because of the victory of Donald Trump that these two writers went off on their little safety pin Trump rant. Because they were so bitter and butthurt that for a second there, they thought, you know, they didn't even care that half of their audience is probably Trump voters. So that was very interesting. So I'd rather know what kind of snakes we're dealing with than keep... I'd just rather know. Jenny Lee, Kate McCallum, Marianne Hart. Marianne posts another great picture of her cheetahs today. She launched Team Page, or the Quite Frankly page on... actually, it should be on the Quite Frankly page every night. But we should share it to the Tyranny Response Team page, definitely. So that's going to be huge right there, because Capstone Broadcasting is a broadcasting company, good friends of ours for many years, that pretty much have built a completely authentic network of fan pages, mostly pro-cannabis and other entertainment industry type pages and whatnot. And they put it all together. And it's like it's a network of over 9 million likes. And when Rob Blunt goes live for Blunted Radio, or when Gypsy goes live for Hangover Takeover over here, over the course of the hour that they're on, while they're being syndicated slowly across this network, they're getting exposed to tens of thousands of people. Thousands of views and clicks. But the impressions-wise, it's unbelievable what's going on. So when we were live on Friday night on Facebook, by the time we got off, there was already about 20,000 people who had viewed it and over 2,200 people that had watched over the course of the hour. And those are over 2,200 people that watched for more than 3 seconds. Anything before that, that's just people flipping through and clicking on, clicking off. Well, 3 seconds could be as long as a – that's a long wait, though. But it eliminates the scrolling views that people talk about. Or at least narrows them down. And that type of shit is amazing. And that's really awesome. So I can't wait to be on both places, because then we get to bring everybody into the fun. And that's what's going to be happening very, very soon. Very soon. Then after that, forget about it. And what does it all do? I don't know. I have no clue. We just gotta have to have the same old show, man. We gotta have you guys calling in. We gotta expose all the personalities over here, and we just gotta dice things up. And we gotta get a little bit more creative. It's gonna be, but we'll have the wiggle room to get creative at that point. So, 2017 will be good. Hooker by Crook. That's that. And Sam, I did not see Doctor Strange yet. I know you guys wanted to see it, right? Well, you didn't give a shit about it. Matt, you wanted to see Doctor Strange, or you saw it?
I didn't see that. I saw the Harry Potter movie, whatever it's called, with the beasts in it, whatever it's called.
Was it good?
It was all right, I guess. It wasn't bad.
Well, that's good. Maybe I'll go see it. I haven't seen all the Harry Potters yet, so I'm not going to do that to myself. I can't do it to myself. You know what I mean, Mike? All right, so let's move on to something else here. The next thing we have on here. Okay, Dakota Pipeline. Now, there's a few things I want to lay out here. Oh, no, there's other things, too. I want to do this first. For everybody that doesn't know, the Dakota Pipeline, the Dakota Access Pipeline, has been getting a lot of attention in the news. You have these protests that are going on. There's a lot of different things that are being said out there. Most of the people, and most people's understanding is that this pipeline is going through reservation land. And it's simply not true. But that is the majority opinions of people. That's what they think is going on. And of course, a lot of the Native Americans up there that are a part of the protests, that have the grievances that we're going to get around to talking about, they actually want a lot of these out-of-staters to go home now too, because people are just treating it like Burning Man up there. Like, it's a, like, we really, there is nothing more disgraceful than a white liberal in this country. Really isn't. They just flock. They flock like flies to every pile of shit. Whenever we cover, you know, because a pile of shit would be a problem, okay? And they just flock, they just sniff them out, and they just go, boom. Don't put any television cameras on the piles of shit, because in come the flies these days. But listen to this. And now, a lot of this is going to be sourced from our good friend Bill, Liberty Bill, who is also a contributing writer on Gaslight.tv, and check him out on Tumblr, libertybill.tumblr.com. Now, he put together a great thing with this. Now, number one, somebody asked him, what are your thoughts on the Dakota Pipeline and Standing Rock? Now, the first thing is everybody should know this map right here. This map is the selected area. It's an 1,100 mile pipeline that goes from North Dakota to Illinois. Okay. Now, you see how on the map, I'm just going to go off of Bill's understanding here. On the map, the pipeline doesn't actually go through or into reservation at all. Do you see that? It comes within a few miles on the north tip, but it doesn't go through reservation land. Meaning they're not actually building a pipeline on the reservation. So that's number one. You'll see the tribal site. I'm going to get this up right here. There's the protest site, and then there's that little bit. And let me see if I can get a better shot. Yeah, no, that's the best I can do. But in either case, the other thought put out there against it was, well, they don't want to be downstream from an oil pipeline. That's another thing that people are saying. Well, they don't want to be downstream from an oil pipeline. And then Bill, very, very calmly, puts up a picture. Here is a map of all the natural gas and oil pipelines in the U.S. Not only are they already downstream from multiple, but most people in the United States are downstream. Okay? So that's what you're looking at right there. Talk about, like, what do people think? Well, we all think the same thing until we know. Holy thing is, are you of sound enough mind to be able to see new information, process it, and say, oh, okay, let me back off for a second. That's the real question these days, because the information's out there. Bill continues, these people have no idea where this thing is even being built and clearly don't have any climate motives, as they've been burning tires and starting fires along with all the other resources wasted cleaning up after them and moving the resources needed to keep the peace. They would have a legitimate argument if someone was building on their property, but it isn't their property. Okay, now I want to go down to the comments here, because this is where it got really interesting. Now, most people are saying, I haven't been following this closely, but everybody's making out to seem like this was going through the middle of a reservation. And everybody's like, well, wow, that's the only reason why I supported the protest, because I thought it was. So some people actually did wake up to this. And then, of course, eventually you get this. I'm extremely against this post. Like, bruh, please, quote, "but this isn't their property," end quote. America should belong to the natives, not the white savages who took it from them. Fucking have the decency to give them whatever land they want and let them have their way. They don't want this particular pipeline. Great. Back the fuck off. Why did you have to ruin everything for the native Indians? Jesus, just savages you truly are. Okay? That's what he said. Now, Bill comes back in, and he's very cool, very calm, very collected. And I like this. I've got a lot of interesting comments, but this one is particularly interesting because of the lack of knowledge of Native American history, something I've studied to a certain extent. What 14 miles away, which is what this is, that's who the blogger's name was that originally wrote that, response. He says, what's really, what he's really grasping at is an idea that is pretty common amongst those uneducated in Native American history. The idea is that there was one Native people, one Native American. Native American people are not homogenous, and they were not relegated to one territory. In the pre-Columbian area, which pre-colonialization, the Native population was largely hunter-gatherers in North America, while Central America was more farming communities. That means that there was frequent turnover of territory to different Native American nations. Okay? The Siouan people simply became began as a large group who shared a common language with quickly splintered off into separate tribes, some no longer identifying as Sioux. Sioux people are not homogenous, and certainly not all Native American people are. The Dakota tribe, a subset of the Sioux Nation, can be further divided into different ethnic groups, the Sioux, Pawnee, and Cheyenne, Cheyenne, frequently went to war over territory. The point is, if we really wanted to, quote, give the land back to the natives, end quote, the historical claims to certain lands would go back over 1,000 years of war and bloodshed between Native American nations. It would be impossible to find whose land it was. Take a history class. And then, of course, he cited a lot of it from Encyclopedia of American Indian History, Bruce Johansson, Barry Pritzker. But in either case, that brings up something else that needs to be spoken about. If you're not talking, if you're not sitting here and you're talking about this protest from a point of climate or protesting something for the environment, which if you look at the pipelines that are already just woven into the country, which the next thing over here reveals something even more, because if you were really caring about the climate or the environment, the pipelines are far more safe than trucking it around and putting it onto trains. And they actually have these new things, these breakdowns over here. This is a map, pipeline incidents from 1996 to 2015. Okay, this is with pipelines. So I think it's 20. I think that's what it is. You can clearly see that even when we're looking in the past 20 years, this map, hold on. Let's hear, this is some of Bill's breakdown. Listen to this. This is good information. I found some data on my own because all I can see is this map with dots on it. I found data on serious pipeline incidents over the last 20 years. I put that into quotations because in this data, a serious incident is defined as any instances where 5 barrels of liquid or more of a hazardous liquid are lost. Let's see. No day man right now. So only 5 barrels qualifies as a serious incident.
That's not that much.
I was able to factor out instances where external factors not associated with the pipeline were the cause. We can clearly see that even when we're looking at over the last 20 years, this map is using much broader definitions, and the one I used was extremely broad, and they're hiding the time frame which had occurred over, not only to mention excluding the qualitative data on the incidents. Forget that. So here you go. There's a grand total in 20 years, 71. 71 pipeline instances in 20 years. 37 fatalities, 114 injuries. Now, you might say, holy shit, 71 in 20 years. Now, let's go to U.S. Department of Transportation Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. Okay? Going to capture this. Remember the incident, 71, over 20 years. This one thing right here will show you that highway and railway, highway being the blue and railway being the gray right here at the bottom. These are incidents in the thousands. Tens of thousands every year. Okay, because obviously you have car crashes, you have things like that. You have spills probably at gas station. Who the hell knows what is in there? But we're talking about 71 pipeline incidents over the course of 20 years and tens of thousands. And this only stretches back to 2006. This is only 10 years, 9 years, because it only includes 2015. 2006 to 2015. No less than 12,000 incidents a year. And there's even incidents in the air, too. That's what the red is over there. So you're talking about all the other ways that we're transporting oil and natural gas and the problems that are having, and gas, and that's the problems that we're having over there with those means. So there's not even you can't even draw a correlation to this protest and saying it's a climate type of thing, it's an environment type of thing, it's a spillage. It's far more safe than what the alternative is. Far more safe. So there's that. But going back to this other thing. I think the thing here, going back to that last point that Bill made in the first post, the point is if we really wanted to give back the land to the natives, the historical claims to certain lands would go back over 1,000 years of war and bloodshed between native nations, and it would be impossible to find whose land it was. Not only that, but as other people have pointed out as well, you have American families, American-held land that you can trace the deeds and the ownership of land back a couple hundred years ourselves now. So you get into this conundrum where you're pitting, you know, tribal lore and tribal history that could be refuted for ages against something that's a little bit more modern and already has hundreds of years. I mean, you can't do it. You can't do it. If you're getting yourself into that business, if you're getting yourself into that business of arbitrarily granting who has rights over that, that's a whole world of hurt. Whole world of hurt right there. The best thing to do is move forward. It's the best thing to do without creating just unbelievable hurt, because there's no way to navigate through it. And to do what? What wrong are you writing? What are you talking, like, what are you doing? This is where all this type of endless parading around leads us. Because, of course, it's not localized to the grievances of those tribes out there and the pipeline. It's not localized anymore. It's been made into a spectacle. And, of course, we're attaching all this Native American and American genocidal history on top. There's just so many more layers to this that we need to consider. You know, this is it. Drag through the mud constantly. So I think this is all very interesting and very very important to keep in mind, because it's obviously it's sticking around, it's got legs, but it is starting to get cold out there, and the snow is going to keep coming. So, like most things, the protest season is going to die down for a couple of months. And then, like dead bodies, they will rise to the surface of the water in the spring. Like the zombies they are. Okay, so what else we have here? All right, I'm going to do one more thing. How's everybody doing in the chat room? Let me see. Water causes drowning. Ban the H2O, Sam says. The elders said protest in peace. Outside stated damaging equipment. Yeah, see, outsiders stated damaging equipment. Absolutely. No, that's all I'm saying. Listen, this is a legal matter that unfortunately it's going to be impossible to navigate through. So if the Native American tribes out there or anywhere have a grievance with the federal government that has okay, there's no way to whitewash what the federal government has done to the Native Americans and how they've been given raw bad deals. Where it's almost like Vader in Cloud City, where I am altering the deal. Just constantly, over and over again. I am altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it further. That's just what it is. So, there's none of that going on. But as far as moving forward, there are, you're talking about private property. There are Americans, American families who have private property rights now to pieces of land for hundreds of years. That has happened. You know? There's that kind of history here now. I know it's still a young country, but there's, you know, let them have that little legal fight. They're going to. And they have to, the court is going to have to just make a decision. Or not hear it at all. I don't know. Hopefully something gets worked out, because you'd hate to see people forcibly removed. But what else are you going to do? It's going to get to that point. Can't go on forever. Whenever you're there staking out and you're going up against a government or some kind of a corporation that's got a government approval behind it and whatever, and they're ready to bring the bulldozers in, but people are camped out inside. I mean, I don't know. Kind of want to see cooler heads prevail and see some kind of understanding met. But it's hard to get an understanding when you got this media, this vulture type of media, and the people that it brings along with it, just picking on everything. So I think that's the last we have to do about the Dakota Pipeline, because we hadn't... Bill had been on before, but this is the most in-depth we've got. So there you go. Last thing here. Hold on. Where the hell is it? Okay, actress number one. And Madonna. This is amazing here. Now, there's this actress over here. I don't know her name. She's Italian or something like that. She's Italian. I'm a woman of my word, actress who offered up to perform sex acts on everyone who voted no in Italian referendum, launches tour of cities to make good on the promise. Stunning Paola Saulino has posted dates for a tour of Italian cities throughout January. A stunning Italian actress who offered to perform a sex act on everyone who voted no in the country's referendum appears to be following through on her promise. So she's going to be going around jerking off everybody in Italy. And it brings me back, reminded me of Madonna saying she would do the same thing for people to vote for Hillary Clinton or something like that. She offered sex acts for anyone who voted for Hillary Clinton. Okay, but no reports that she followed through. Now, this leads into something else. Madonna, Billboard Woman of the Year, gives provocative interview on everything from the 2016 election to ageism. Okay? So, she goes on to say that women hate women, and that's the reason why Donald Trump won, because women betrayed women. Okay, and now here's I want to get around to that. Hold on. Ready for this one? How do you feel about the outcome of the election? It felt like someone died. It felt like a combination of the heartbreak and betrayal you feel when someone you love more than anything leaves you, and also a death. You fucking retard. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? At the very least, it's 4 years. What the hell are you talking about? A death. Death is forever, you wench. See, this is how absolutist they are. And you know, you have Bill Maher come out and say, listen, we were just exaggerating. We were exaggerating all those years with Mitt Romney and George Bush and this and that. We were exaggerating, and I'm sorry, this time it's for real. No, this time it's not for real either. You're going to be fine. Stop being a bitch. I feel that every morning when I wake up and say, oh, wait, Donald Trump is still the president, and it wasn't a bad dream that I had. It feels like women betrayed us. The percentage of women who voted for Trump was insanely high. The interviewer asks, why do you think that is? She says, women hate women. That's what I think it is. Women's nature is not to support... Okay? And men still protect women. Okay? The authority that was created through government, that used to just be... I mean, I love these. I love people like Madonna. And here's the thing, to all of my female friends and listeners and all that out there, when I look at this and when I see people take these man women stances, these feminist stances, and all that stuff, where it's just so puff the chest out, you know, power, power, power. I want you all to be confident. And I want you all to just carry yourself nice and strong and stern and be focused and be confident and to be funny and open and friendly and everything. I would love to see everybody walking around like that. But there's people who walk around with this girl power trip that is unbecoming to an actually really well-rounded, confident, well put together, mentally fit woman, a mentally tough woman. And I hope you guys can feel what I'm trying to, if you know what I mean, by that type of girl power thing that that these people put forward, like the Lena Dunham types, the Madonna type, a lot of people out there, where it's just like these frail people who are only able to exude such a confident, blasé, girl power, we rule the world shit because of the civilization that has been created and the authority that has been created and instituted through what we call civilization, society. If this house of cards that we're living in just blew away one day, whether it be an EMP blast or a nuclear disaster or some kind of terrible string of events that crippled civilization, okay? And we're such a young civilization in comparison to the long, tumultuous, violent, chaotic history of this planet and the rest of the Earth. If anything happened to the structure of society, where all of that power went away, and it's just you in all of your girly girl power strength, in all of your pump, and all of your I could take on the world. Now in that space, any woman, any girl, any boy, any man would be shit out of luck, especially after the way we lived, to have to go back to having to fend for yourself. But I'll tell you one thing. If we ever have to go back to fending for ourselves in some kind of emergency situation, there are no cops. Whatever ones survived are with their families. And you are now all on your own. And when we go back to the rules of the jungle, I'll tell you, ladies, you're going to be worth your weight in chickens again, because one of the other things that humanity will never be rid of is the warlike mentality and everything that goes along with warring and pillaging and being deprived of sex and primal urges. Yes, rape, theft, all of that stuff. It happens. It happens. And when you reduce to the laws of the jungle, that's where we go back to, very scarily enough. It's good to just know that about ourselves, because maybe you would walk around, we would all walk around, because we would, like I said, we would all be facing, we'd all be under the gauntlet at that point. But for the women who think they're untouchable, because it's 2016, 2016 could be 2000 BC real quick. Okay? I think what we need to do is take Western civilization, a civilization we have all, both genders, have all had a part in creating, and all of our social evolutions and all that to come, you name it. I know. I get it. Bad stuff. There's bad stuff in there. We get it. But that's the place right there, man. That's the only place. I think we need to be grateful for that place. Okay? I think to take it for granted, just remember where your power and your confidence comes from. How about we sober up a little bit with all the proud peacocks out there, men and women, who think their shit don't stink because they're empowered by some kind of idea, where they're strutting their shit. So that's not even what I wanted to say. So you have Madonna promising to do similar. Now, I know Madonna, then she goes and she says about the women hating women. And I know, I know Madonna. It's almost as if there's a growing rift between women who are willing to offer themselves up sexually to sway an election and those who may want to retain their dignity. It's almost as if there's that going on. Or it's almost as if there are any women out there who, put independence and personal responsibility and liberty ahead of being a professional victim. It's almost as if that there's two different types of people out there. Some women who might want to pursue independent, free, non-political ways of thinking, a little bit more mathematic ways of thinking instead of this shit. Who knows? Maybe women are getting tired of having their genitals and abortion dangled in front of them like it's a carrot on a stick, too. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Most hateful people out there. Presumptive, everything. But that's it for tonight, guys. That's it for tonight. Now, it's a Monday. It's a Monday night. So, it was going to be a little bit jumbled. It was going to be a little bit high-strung. We're going to come back tomorrow a lot more cool, calm, and collected. And now that all the big things are out of the way, we did Madonna, we did Dakota Access. I had a couple of things we didn't do tonight, but that's okay. It's all small stuff now. So the rest of the week will probably be a waltz, where we have a lot of fun, a lot of room to have some fun and do our thing. So thank you for joining me once again. We'll see you tomorrow night, quite frankly, at 7 p.m., and this will be up on the podcast before midnight tonight. Take it easy, y'all. Matt, you want to say anything?
No, sir.
You feel all right?
Yeah, I'm good, bro.
All right, he's doing well. Bye, everybody.